O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may sit. As we come this morning, I thank the Lord to be here to share the word of God with us all. My voice is hoarse. That's not my natural voice. I have having a bit of a chill, a cold. But I trust the Lord to lead us and use us all as we look at his word. Today we come within the themes that we have been looking at for this season on the church calendar. We have looked in the past at faith and goodness and knowledge. Today we look at the theme of self-control. Our reading, which we have to guide us to that, is from 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21. It talks about being vessels of honor. Now, this section of Paul's letter to Timothy comes within a wider teaching which Paul talked about and about which he wrote to Timothy. That wider teaching is found from chapter 1 of this second letter. So for us to see where we are leading and to see what Paul is talking about when he talks about vessels of honor, let's try to put it in context, in which context Paul was talking about being vessels of honor. He talked about the whole question of being a servant of Christ and doing the work of the evangelist to Timothy. And as you see it here in this letter. So what he's talking about is the aspect of faithfulness, doing his work faithfully as he looks to God. Faithfulness so that others may see Paul, may see Timothy, and emulate him, copy him for being faithful to the work of God. To this end, Paul uses three pictures. One, that of a soldier. Second, that of an athlete. Third, that of a farmer. So let's quickly look at these three. What Paul had in mind when he talks about the picture of a soldier and asks Paul to do the work of evangelist as a good soldier of Christ. For Paul, who is a soldier, and what is he seeing here? He talks about another person called Epaphroditus, who he says is a fellow soldier in the work of Christ. So clearly Paul saw in the life of a soldier the picture of a good Christian. The picture of a good Christian. During the Roman times, a soldier was conditioned to certain behavior. And this is in three aspects. One, obedience. Second, sacrifice. Three, loyalty. That is what was expected of a soldier in the Roman times. Obedience, sacrifice, and loyalty. So in Roman thinking, the soldier's supreme virtue is that he is to be faithful unto death. To be faithful unto death. That was a requirement, and they saw to that edict. The picture that Paul has, when he is talking of a fellow soldier and inviting Timothy to come and be a soldier in the work of Christ. The second one is Anathrete. A picture of Anathrete. Paul says that Anathrete does not win the crown of life or victory unless he observes the rules of the contest. Something to be done to observe the rules of the contest so as to win the crown. So here in the Anathrete picture, there's a very interesting point in the Greek thought, which is sometimes difficult to translate. But the King James comes closer to it when it says, it speaks of striving lawfully. Striving lawfully. When he's trying to give us an equivalent of what it is that Paul is talking about. The man who strove lawfully, according to the Greeks, was the man who concentrated everything on his struggle. Concentrate everything in the struggle. His struggle was not just spare time activity. It was a whole time dedication to his life, a life to excellence in the contest which he has chosen. A full-time engagement, a full-time activity, and concentration on it. Here then, we have the same idea as in Paul's picture of the Christian as a soldier. A Christian life must be concentrated upon Christianity, just as personal athlete's life concentrates upon what he has chosen and follows the rules of the contest. In other words, according to Paul, there is no part-time Christianity. There's no part-time Christianity. That would be a contradiction in terms. So he's saying that our whole life should be an endeavor, a struggle, to live out our Christianity. So what then are the characteristics of an Anathrete? What are the characteristics of an Anathrete, which Paul had in mind? One, an Anathrete must be a person under discipline and self-denial. One must keep to one's schedule of training and let nothing interfere with it. That's what Paul is saying. Therefore, the Christian must be a person of discipline as he or she leads the Christian life. The athlete then is a person who observes rules. After the discipline, the rules of training, he follows them one by one. And in this way, he can attain the crown. So, according to Paul, the Christian too is often brought into contest with his fellow men and women. He must defend his faith. She must defend her faith. That's the one. One must seek to convince and to persuade others. And one must be able to argue in debate and do it wisely. As he is saying to Timothy, shun all ungodly chatter and talk, and be focused on the truth of the Word of God. Therefore, according to this, the Christian must do these things by the Christian rules, the Christian rules, the Christian principles. Think about it. Think about it. How you do your things, how you live your Christian life. What are the guiding principles? What are the guiding rules? So, according to this, Paul is asking Timothy to be cautious and not to forget his Christian heritage. Remind him of his mother Eunice, his grandmother Lois, from whom he learned the Christian message and the Christian faith. And therefore he is telling him, don't ever forget these things. And therefore he is telling him, as in line with the athlete and the soldier, to be honest, about his position and be aware that there are opponents all the time. In this then, it has been remembered that the supreme rule of the Christian life, the supreme rule of the Christian life is to carry out the love as he continues to argue and to debate with his opponents. That's about the athlete. The third example that Paul is talking about to Timothy, he talked about the toiler who is a farmer. And Paul uses this example to represent the Christian life. He says, a farmer must be content, first and foremost, to work and then to eat. To work and then to eat. He says that an experienced farmer knows that there are no such things as quick results. Those who are farmers here or come from a farming background, that is the truth. You learn to work and to wait for the results, and there are no quick results for the farmer. Sometimes there are no results after all the work has been done. So he is saying, like the farmer, the Christian too must learn to work and to wait. So as we see it, Paul uses these three pictures, soldier, athlete, and farmer, to discuss Christian faith. You see here that one, a soldier is upheld by the thought of the final victory. The final victory. That was a soldier was trained to look at in the Roman times. The final victory is winning the battle. That's what the soldier is to focus on and focuses on according to his training. Focus on the final victory. For the athlete is upheld by the vision of the crown. The winning of the crown, that's what upholds the athlete as he competes, and work hard. You are now aware of what we are seeing about the World Cup going on at the moment. And if you watch it, these people are professionals. The way they put the ball round and forth until they score, they are professionals. They are looking to the crown. They have a vision to win. That's an athlete. And the farmer, who is also referred to as a husbandman, he's upheld by the hope of the harvest. At the end of this, at the end of the season, what do we get? The harvest come. So, each of these persons submit to discipline. The discipline of the trial for the sake of the glory which is to come. According to Paul, then, it is so with the Christian. The Christian struggle is not without a goal. Is always going somewhere. The Christian can be certain that after the effort of the Christian life, there comes the joyful heaven, the joy of heaven. And the greater the struggle, the greater the joy. This is a background in which Paul is asking Timothy to be a vessel of honor. It is in that background that we look at what Paul is telling Timothy. Be a vessel of honor. He says then that in the house, and here the house is again a picture, because Paul is talking about the world. In this case, talking about the church. He says, within the church, within the home, within the society, there are different instruments. He calls them vessels. Some for honorable job, others for less honorable duties. All these things are together in the house. And so, as a Christian, you are together in a community. You are together in the family with others. And what is Paul talking about to Timothy? He's telling them to be focused. To be focused within this context. The vessel he talks about, be a vessel of honor. Let's for a moment look at that. The vessel. Vessel here could be a ship. A ship in the high seas carrying all kinds of goods. A vessel. A ship. What is carrying the vessel? Well, it carries goods, carries merchandise. Some of these goods or merchandise are bad, some are good. So, as a servant of Christ, as a vessel of God, Paul is asking Timothy to deliver goods that are of benefit and life-giving to others. To deliver goods that are beneficial, goods that bring life to others, that build others. How is it to be done? It's to be done honorably. To be done honorably. In a way that helps others. And therefore, Timothy is to be a vessel of honor, he himself, to deliver honorable message of God. A Christian today, you and I, are called to do no less, to be vessels of honor, to present or to deliver God's message in an honorable way. That is, to observe what we have seen in the pictures of Paul, the soldier, the athlete, and the farmer, to observe discipline. That is one. Two, to observe Christian truth and honesty. Observe Christian truth and honesty. Three, to observe Christian love. To do whatever you are doing in the context of Christian love. And four, to do this for the purpose of building Christian life. For the purpose of building Christian life. Your life, life of others, life of your family, life of the community, a vessel of honor, an instrument of good work. Indeed, the vessel is for the purpose, for a specific purpose, any vessel, the ship in the high seas, the instruments in your house, the instruments in the house of God, the instruments in our society, they are for a purpose. They are for a purpose. They are for specific duties or duty. So, Paul is saying, in line with what Jesus said, that a vessel is to be known by its work. A vessel is to be known by its work. As the word of Jesus, as you have seen it in a reading from Matthew, fruits that we bear. By their fruits, Jesus said, you shall know them. By what they do, you shall know what kind of vessels they are. Are they vessels of honor or vessels of dishonor? By what fruits or fruit are you known? By what fruit are you known? Think of it. Think about it. Ask yourself this question. And I also ask myself the same question. By what fruit am I known? What type of vessel are you? Vessels, a vessel of honorable work or of less honorable work? So what we see in this is that it is saying be the kind of person that Christ would use in Christ's vineyard. Be the kind of vessel, the kind of person that Christ himself would use. So it's all about Christian living. It's all about Christian conduct. It's all about who we are and how we appear to others, and whether we build others or destroy them. Christian living. Christian living. In what Paul is saying then, we note this, that as vessels of honor, as Christians seeking to live the Christian life by the Christian rules, there are times when the when the easy way out is very attractive. The easy way out is attractive. We go through those episodes and times in our life. Father, there are times when the right thing is a hard thing. It's common experience. When the right thing to do is the hard thing. Father, there are times when we are tempted to relax the standards that Paul is talking about in respect to the soldier, to the athlete, and to the farmer. There are times when we are tempted to relax the standards. So Paul's advice or concern is that the Christian must train himself or herself never to relax in the lifelong attempt to make his soul pure and strong. Never relax, because the journey continues. It's a long journey. And all these things you have said will come across as you move on. Never relax in the lifelong attempt to make your soul pure and strong. So in this case, this is reminding us, this message, this theme of vessels of honor. It is reminding us that there are specific things that we are called to do, and we are required to do for this. So he is saying there at the end of it, that if any person purifies himself or herself from what is ignoble, meaning of dishonor, purify yourself from those things which are not honorable. But what Paul is saying to Timothy, if you purify yourself from these things, you become a vessel of good work, a vessel consecrated, and a vessel that is useful for the work of God. Then he says there one more thing or two more things. Also, sort of guiding Paul, giving him an example, an illustration, how to do these things, how to be a vessel of honor. He says, a young person, shun youthful passions and aim at righteousness. Shun the things that are not honorable to God, to the community. shun those things, avoid those things, and instead aim for righteousness. But there's one. Aim to uphold the faith. Aim to love others. Aim to seek for peace and to preserve it. If you do these things, Paul is saying to Timothy, you be a servant of Christ. Worthy the crown. Be a servant of Christ. Worthy the crown. Do this because you have a vision and you have a hope. A vision and a hope. And this is it that is to keep you going. A vision keeps a community, keeps a people, keeps a family moving on. And the hope sustains and upholds them. In all these things, let's examine our lives and see where we are. Are we vessels of honor as individuals, as a family, as a church, as a community, or even as our society? There are many things we are seeing and hearing when we hear about corruption. These things are dishonorable. These things are dishonorable. And God help us all. Help us to do the things that bring honor and glory to his name, and help to build us as individuals and as a community, to build us in the Christian faith and Christian love. On the first page of the bulletin, look at the word there. It says, remember. Remember. We underline the word remember. Because that's what Paul is telling Timothy. Remember who you are. Remember where you are coming from. Remember your Christian heritage. Courage, power, love, self-control, and truth. The aspects that we see in the three pictures that Paul gives us of the soldier, of the athlete, and of the farmer. Let us pray. But our Father, we thank you because you are our God. Commend us and created us and given us minds to think and abilities and even given us a way to do what should be done to build your church. Be with us and strengthen us. And may your word bear fruits in our lives as we think about it this day and even this week. So bless the preaching of your word, that your name may be given all honor and glory, world without end. Amen.